So we're here at Fringe Central for an interview with Mixtape, and we're joined by
Zoe,
Chris,
and my opening question is an obvious one. I mean, why did you make a show about a tape, and who the fuck is Mick?
Chris, I think you're the best one to answer this one.
Mick is a very close friend of mine, and he loves tapes, so we decided to make a show for him to see how much he loves tapes and how much we love Mick.
And so what's exciting about this as well is, so you're taking sketch comedy, you're taking music, you're kind of putting a bit of a TV quiz show spin on it too, and mixing all that together.
Yeah, we're just trying to play with people's minds and just pack as much into one show as possible. Yeah, so what we do is we take musical genres, artists, reword lyrics from their songs, make them into short sketches, perform them for the audience, and they get to guess the songs and then win a golden mixtape at the end. So, yeah, it's a bit of everything. I haven't been involved in anything like this before, so it's quite exciting.
So how did the idea come about? Take me back to the moment of birth.
Melanie was doing a theatre show in Newcastle. Melanie Rashbrook was doing the theatre show, and she had a U2 sketch where Bono was trying to get his ex-girlfriend back, and that was the birth of it, really. And from there, Melanie started writing more and more sketches, and then, yeah, we've got a full show of it now, and, yeah like it's Zoe said, messing with people's minds.
Sorry, a very emotional Bono on stage, rewording "With or Without You" quite drunkenly to an unsuspecting lady in the audience.
So what I'm interested in, I'm really interested in how comedy gets made and then put on the stage. So just, I want to go even more viscerally into those moments of you're sitting there, how you cook ideas up. Do they make you laugh and then you know it's going to work, or are you frowning and then you try them out on people? How does it come about?
I think, oh God, because we all know, there's so many mixtapers, but because we all know each other so well, I think we find it hilarious. Hopefully the audience do too. But it all kind of, we perform it at live theatre in Newcastle, so there's a great scene for this kind of stuff there, so it's always quite well received.
So there isn't a huge table, you know, with lots of frowning people working through material like sketch writers often do.
I frown constantly anyway, but you've written some.
I mean, I think the sort of the way that we work it is we get the scripts that just have those lyrics on, and then we just make them as big and do as big characters as we can and do a range of accents that may or may not work or may not even sound like those accents, but as long as we find them funny, then hopefully the audience will find them funny as well.
I mean, I don't want to sound cynical, but there really are a lot of songs from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s and beyond that are already ripe for comedy, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes, but hopefully we put a slightly different spin on them. I mean, we do have, we've got a rock and roll jukebox show, which is a bit of 50s and 60s. And then we've got an 80s one that we do, which is a lot of Madonna, a lot of, God, who else is in there? There's
Wham's in there. Yes. But I mean, like you say, Wham, it's Wham. But I mean, the lyrics are already tailored there to make it funny, so we don't really have to do that much work. We're, you know, it's just laziness, really. But it works.
Melanie does loads.
Yeah.
And just in terms of putting on a really successful Fringe show, there's a whole lot of technology behind this. This can't be accidental. You've got to get the tech right here. So how do you make sure you hit the ground running and it all works, you know, well?
Listen to it over and over and over again and make sure that it is correct when we go on stage. All the stings in between, we have to listen to them a number of times to make sure we know the exact point that we come on stage and what sketch we're gonna do.
I mean, so this is pretty tight theatre, really.
Yeah, and obviously as well, because we do a variety of so many different shows and the sketches are ever-changing, so the audience gets a different show every night. We do have to be there, like, part of the process beforehand, just making sure that all the tracks are kind of correct, because, well, wouldn't be so fun if they weren't.
Yeah, and so, I guess you rehearse it.
Yeah, we rehearse. I think every day that we've been here, we've rehearsed. And every day that we're at home, we rehearse as well. You just have to keep going through it. And I mean, my wife's in it as well, so we rehearse at home, which is fun and also awful at the same time.
Potentially dangerous. And then in terms of the improv element to it, because then you've obviously got audiences that are different each night, do you kind of have to practice the improv like some improv groups do?
Yeah, we have done some improv games on the run-up to it. I mean, that's mainly sort of the bits that are in between, and we can sort of tailor that to which audience comes in. I mean, there's only a few of us that do sort of those speaking bits, so we kind of know the run of the mill, know what the audience are gonna bring to us, and we have sort of those little comments and things like that in our armory to fire at them if anything goes wrong or if anything goes a bit raucous.
Because we now, everything is so well rehearsed and we know each other so well and we trust each other, that makes it a lot easier for when you do need to improvise on stage.
Are there any choices of songs that have really backfired?
Oh, yes.
I like that reaction.
There is a Gary Glitter song that we do, and that always gets a mixed reaction from the audience, mainly because I'm playing Gary Glitter and my wife is playing a young person in the sketch. So that always gets a mixed reaction, although someone did whoop when I said I was Gary Glitter.
So you've decided that it's about the music rather than the man, is that what it is? Or you're just trying to, you know, get a news story out?
I think it's more about the comedy. It's more about the comedy element to it. I think they people like to see things that disturb them a little bit and things that shock them a little bit. And people laugh when they're uncomfortable. So if we can make them uncomfortable to make them laugh, then we'll do that.
And I guess you get different reactions. And do you have to just kind of hold to your course? So if a particular thing doesn't go as well with one audience, it doesn't mean it's not going to like rock the next day.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you can gauge it off just one performance. I mean, we've had some fantastic sellout performances here where the same sketches have gone down brilliantly and then the next day you're performing to not many people that maybe don't know what they're getting. And you've just got to roll with it until you know whether it's worth keeping.
Yeah, there's one where one of the other guys had to be a fire alarm on stage, and we had six people in the audience, and when he came off stage, he went, "I've just pretended to be a fire alarm in front of six people, and no one laughed."
Now, you could give me a PR answer to this, and I don't want you to. What I want you to do is describe to me, as I'm going to say, theatre entertainment makers, when this show is really at its height and it's full and everyone is loving it, describe what's going on for you guys on stage.
Still a bit of blind panic, really, because there's so many sketches, so many lines, so many words that we can't put in those sketches. But it's—I was going to say euphoric. I've said it now. Yeah, it's euphoric. Yeah, it's great. It's great fun.
So you're on stage knowing it's going well, but what? So why is it working? Why is this format working?
I mean, when you've got a good audience and the sketches are going down well, you've got this great vibe, like people playing together, There's no kind of greater feeling doing this than when you're midway through a sketch and there's a word hits and that's, you hear the audience go, "Oh, of course!" Write it down on the quiz sheet. And then I think it's just great it's that extra bit of audience interaction than just doing a normal theatre piece.
And I suppose this format could go on endlessly as long as there are songs.
Yeah, there's no end to it because there's so many different genres, so many different sub-genres in there as well. So you could tailor any show to any kind of music if you want, and you could do birthday parties if you do their favorite track list. You know, could be anything.
So and we need to guess what the song is from the sketch. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, as well as the artist as well. Yeah.
And so, what happens if we get it right?
You get a point for every artist, you get a point for every track name, and then if you have the most amount of points at the end of the show, you win the golden mixtape, which is highly coveted, so...
I always think it's a good sign when I'm interviewing people and they're sort of smiling even as they talk about their work, so you guys clearly enjoy this. But going forward, how do you make sure it doesn't go stale? How do you keep it fresh? How do you keep yourselves kind of, you know, doing the next show as if it's the first one?
I say at this point, touch wood... that it wouldn't go stale because there are so many of us and it's new ideas coming into the pot, and because the genres are so varied, it's always new scripts. It can be really fast paced as well, so there's not really much chance to kind of get to that point.
Yeah, and there's so many people that come in and then fill in for your characters. So each sketch, if you're doing a sketch 20 times, it might be a different actor that you're on stage with every time. So they're not going to do it the same way as the other person. We've got free room to go and do it the way we want to. And I think that keeps it so fresh and keeps it fun every time, you know.
And I guess so, if I say Murder on the Dance Floor, you're already thinking ideas, aren't you?
Sophie Alice Baxter.
Yeah. Well, just burn this house right down, really, I think. but you better not steal the groove. That's the other
thing. They're already motoring away. Okay, so last question now. Again, staying off the PR, we're really into genuine warm invitations. So if somebody's wandering along the Royal Mile or wandering through Edinburgh thinking of something to go and see, could one of or both of you issue a nice, warm, authentic invitation for them to come and see Mixtape? Without PR,
you should do your one.
The only one I can think of now that you said that, I shouted at Stuart Lee the other day across the road, and he sort of just gave me a little wave and a smile as if to say, "Don't hurt me." but I spoke to Milton Jones the other day at the Half Price Hut, and he just seemed to want to really know about it. And I just sort of just give him the flyer, tell him that it's a great show and that it's good fun. I think that's all you can say, really.
Yeah, but now issue an invitation to anybody. You know, just invite us to the show. Don't invite Stuart Lee.
Theatre sketch, comedy, quiz, mix-up, blowing with your mind. Everything you want to see at the Fringe, we do in 1 hour.
Okay, so we did get PR. Your last chance not to do PR.
Get together with your friends. It's great. There's nothing better than having friends that love music.
No, it's fun.
Mixtape, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.